Hello, welcome to this episode of the Maverick Podcast. I am Luke Tsu, and today I'm joined by Curtis Cheer.
Thanks for having me.
No problem.
It feels like it's been ages since I've been on the podcast.
Yeah, is this the first time we've talked on this set?
Yeah, definitely. I think the last time was where me and Dave done that podcast. That went slightly horribly wrong at the start.
It always starts off with, like, the intros of podcasts are always the worst, because it's kind of like, okay, you explain. If you get the intro wrong, which, you know, it takes fucking ages. I just saw it. See, I've already done it. It takes ages to get right.
I know what you mean. It's like, do I say hello? Do I wave? Do I look at the camera?
It's like, hello, thank you for having me. And just sort of like a nodding, like you're visiting someone else's parents' house.
Yes.
Like, okay. So today we're talking about, you've probably seen it on the title, is how do you convert more on discovery calls? Mm-hmm. Obviously, being in the department you take hundreds of discovery calls with Maverick. But first of all, let's really go into what are discovery calls.
Yeah. So I would say a discovery call is almost like what it says on the tin. It's basically anyone who's possibly interested in your services and they want to find out more, basically. So it could come from a direct message, it could be an email into your inbox, where they're going, a prime example that we tend to have is, I'd like to learn more about Sales Navigator because 10 of my team are interested in getting better, basically.
So it's not a discovery call as in, oh, let's get to know the company and get to know you. I mean, it is kind of a little bit like that, but the discovery calls that you take, they're more like valuable and tipped and tactic based.
Yeah, I always treat, because we almost use these types of stats or KPIs to go, are we doing well? And if I class a discovery call as someone just going, hi, can we just spend 5 minutes introducing ourselves over a coffee? It almost unbalances your stats and goes, actually, we're doing very well. But actually, 20 of those calls could be that I'm just introducing myself over a quick coffee. But actually, you want to go, actually, how many true discovery calls are we getting? Because actually, that will tell you if your marketing's working, if your outreach is working, if your ads are working.
Yeah, so if you get someone on the call anyway, they obviously have done some research on you. Mm-hmm. No one's going to go into a call completely blank. They're going to check your website. They're going to check your social profiles. And if it's with you and you've contacted someone directly for that call, they're going to check you out as well.
Yeah.
So just going into a discovery call, I guess, and saying, oh, this is my company, this is what I do, a little bit of background. You can do it briefly, but I feel like if you're just going to just say that, it's kind of a bit of a mute point, like with a mute call.
Yeah, I typically say on my discovery calls, I'll ask how much they know about us, because actually they will be the ones who are very intense in it and they'll do all the research. But there'll be some who go, actually, they've been given a task to find out 5 quotes from 5 different training companies, and they've probably just gone onto our website, seen that we do a bit of training, and then just booked. So naturally, I'll just introduce how long we've been going for, what we tend to specialise in, and also who we've helped. And then it's more about how we can help that customer. So it's not just me talking. You do have to ask those leading questions to really pull out those points to go, actually, that's what I need to focus on, because that's what they're here on the call for.
Yeah, it's the when, like I said, what on the call for is the important part, because you can book discovery calls if they're just on your website, but you can use like schedulers that can actually show you what kind of call you're going into, so you can actually label it. So if someone comes in, if you've got a lead magnet and you put it out there, which is like top 5 ways to improve your content to convert more, you know that they're there because they might be struggling with content, they're struggling to create in order to get engagements, or if they're there to top 5 ways to improve your direct messaging, you can tell that their messaging might be wrong. So you can kind of, with your discovery calls, they're not sales calls, are they're value driven. So you can tell what they're there for.
Yeah.
And like you said, even if it's just, oh, my boss has told me to get 5 different companies, I got 5 different companies, you can't really then go into all that you do. You'll have to just be like, oh, well, this is just who I am, a brief overview. So how you're getting discovery calls are an important part. If someone's struggling to get those calls in the first place, what would be your advice?
So I would say if someone's struggling to get those calls in the first place, is you're probably not being seen. So whether you haven't got a consistent marketing strategy, so actually in terms of your marketing, it should be the aim of it should be having people to gravitate towards you. So like you mentioned earlier, we all do a lot of pain point and challenge focused articles to pique their interest, where they go, oh, I can learn how to create 5 ways that will have content that will generate inbound leads for me. So that will pull them in, and they'll go, okay, that was very useful. So it's all about finding the right balance of, within the article, can we tease a bit of the solution, but almost leave enough where it goes, oh, I'm curious to know more, or I'm curious to find out how to do this better.
Yeah.
And that's one way. The other way could be paid ads. I mean, a lot of people use paid ads, but you have to have that messaging right within your paid ads, or else you're just pushing out fluff or a message that just doesn't relate to people and they don't see where you help, basically.
Yeah, if you don't, in your paid ad, obviously you'll have, this will be how you do this. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a little bit of flash in it to attract people because you want to get the click-throughs, don't you?
Yes.
But in that, you need to have the content that says, okay, this is important, valuable information to make an action. And we call them triers and buyers, don't mm-hmm. we? So we have people who will take your information, take your advice and try it for themselves. You'll get a lot of those people who will, you know, always take what you got and take yeah. what you got. And we have a lot of people on the calls, and you have a lot of people who take multiple calls just to say, oh, I really like this, what you talked about here, can I have a few calls? And they might not ever buy something in the long run, but mm-hmm. they will preach your message going forward.
Yes.
So those are the triers. And then you have the buyers who will go, okay, this is fantastic, but I can tell there's more behind it. Mm-hmm. And you think that is how, when on your calls, it's how you lace that in with the message. So when you're giving advice, do you ever say, we cover this in this product? Or do you try to avoid like name dropping products a lot of the time?
Yeah, it really comes from my qualifying questions, because certain people will go on different calls for many different reasons. So for example, I can have 10 customers that will want to jump on the call with me because they want to improve their sales team in Sales Navigator. But it could be 10 different reasons. It could be one, they don't have a Sales Navigator strategy, so actually the team are just doing a bit of everything. Secondly, it could be actually some of the sales team just want to improve their messaging. Or actually it could be some of the sales team will want to really improve their targeting and like finding their target audience. Once I've identified that, I'll start to go, okay, in my head, I already know what would be a good program or what would be a good package for them. But I'd also go, actually, within that challenge, I know what to wow them with now, actually, because they've told me they want to know about targeting better. So I'll use the filters or Boolean searches, or I'll focus on spotlights where I can really go, actually, you've just told me what your challenge is. I'm just teasing the way you can fix this specific challenge. Nothing yeah. else. I'm not talking about any other benefits about Sales Navigator, because the main reason you're on this call is you want to find a better target audience, or you want to identify them better.
And that's what the marketing does before the call. Because mm-hmm. if they come to you and say, well, I just want this result, you have to work your way into what is the problem.
Yeah.
So if they say, what happens is every time I message someone, I don't get a response. Mm-hmm. So you go, okay, let's take a look at that then. Because otherwise, it'd be great if someone come to you and said, I need help with X. Because they never know what the X is. They just kind of know that their solution is Y and they want the solution. So yeah. in that call itself, what you're doing is you're unpicking the reasons why that solution is not happening for them.
Yeah, definitely. And you have to be confident with the approach as well. Because like you said, a lot of people might just go, we're struggling with sales. But you always go, okay, why do they struggle with sales? Is it their messaging? Or actually, are they really struggling with content? Or have they noticed that their team don't post enough and it's having that accountability? So it's almost going, okay, if they give you a vague answer, for you to do your job well, but also for you to convert them, you want to really hone in on why they're on this call. Because there's going to be a specific reason.
So what do you think about when you're on a discovery call? Do you feel like you're sometimes giving too much away? Because I feel like a lot of people, especially coaches and consultants, that have their frameworks, and they say, well, I don't want to give out everything I know on my framework on this call, because this is just, you know, qualifying a client or a prospect coming in. What would you say is there a limit for how much information you want to give out?
I think it really depends on the person. So I know a lot of very good salespeople who can just tease part of the answer. But they do that tease very well, so it makes people want to come back.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm more of the person where I go, actually, I'm going to give a lot of value, because actually I know just by having this half an hour or even up to an hour call, they're not going to become a LinkedIn expert straight away, even with all of the information I give them, because you'll probably only retain about 20%. What I see my basis is, or what my foundation is if I give enough value and enough knowledge, people go, wow, I got all of that on a discovery call or a strategy call, which makes them want to come back.
Yeah, everyone always gets really like, oh, I didn't think this, I thought it was going to be a sales call. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And everyone comes out of it like, oh, I was actually really good. I'm actually going to try and do that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the moments you want in the call. You want them to go, Oh, you give me a lot to think about here. You want those light bulb moments where people go, this is fantastic, I can actually use this. Mm-hmm. Because you do that once, it's fantastic. You do it twice, they're like, oh, that's great. And then what they're doing, they're hooked on every light bulb moment they get from you.
Yeah.
And then if your light bulb moments come in products, services, consulting, coaching, you know, a talk with you, they're going to just keep coming back and back and back because you're providing mm-hmm. them those moments.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is like, it's invaluable for a business because definitely. You could just completely change how they approach a certain topic. And like you said, you can improve their sales, if it improves their messaging. Mm-hmm. And there's just little bits, I think, that we take for granted in what we know that we could give to someone else that will really change how they do business.
Yeah. So following on from what you said, some people might go, actually, I don't want to give too much information away, but you're probably thinking high level. So you're thinking the strategy and all of that stuff. But actually, there's a lot of subject matter that you know, that your audience doesn't know, where they'll think, wow, that's amazing. So I always use this example in our world. We barely talk about hashtags anymore, do we? Because we think, hashtags is such foundational knowledge. People should know that they need free and they should use ones that their target audience are following.
So algorithms think, are getting smarter. Yeah. With hashtags, they used to leverage hashtags so they could basically put content where it needs to be in front of the right people. But now, because of the algorithms, they can actually find out what the video is about, find out what the copy is about, and they can categorize it for you. So you don't have to like rely on them so much, which is why you see on TikTok, if you linger on a video so much, you get more of that same stuff.
Yeah.
It's because it might be the sound they're using, might be the video they're using, but they can analyze the content and go, well, this person obviously likes, you know, giant green pitch with a ball going around. Like, oh, I wonder what that could be. Mm-hmm. And then it's finding that and going, great, here you go. So yeah, hashtags aren't as important anymore.
Yeah, but even when they were important, it was always something we glazed over.
Yeah.
But actually, on the core, what we count as foundational or basic knowledge can be very high level for your audience, basically. So yeah, actually, you can go actually,
before doing when hashtags were being used for that way, it was very important because what people were doing was hashtagging the wrong industries, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
They were hashtagging their industry.
Yeah, which was skewing their views to their own competitors. Because for example, if you have a copywriter, I used to get some people who go, oh, I'm only getting copywriters to see my content and I don't understand why.
Yeah.
But then you look at their hashtags, it was hashtag copywriting, hashtag writing, hashtag publishing, should we say. So yeah, I mean, even think simple things like that, we just glaze over, but actually, they could be tons of value that you can be given away where you think, actually, I'm not sharing much of my strategy, but it's a very unique and valuable tip for this person on the call. So I would say, going back to your question, depending on who you are, don't overthink it too much. Just think, okay, am I someone who's very good at teasing and dropping enough curiosity and all of that? Or am I someone who wants to go, I want to give tons of value so they come back, but you don't have to give the full strategy. It's just giving these snippets of these wowness where they go, wow, that like I didn't know that about hashtags, or I didn't know that about that search feature, or yeah, little things that will just make their job or their day-to-day easier.
Fantastic. Would you say presentations are important? Is it good to go in with a whole presentation with slides and, you know?
I think it depends on what your product or service is. Naturally, I wouldn't say I need a presentation because a lot of the stuff I can do, so if I speak to you, for example, you might say that I'm struggling with content or I'm struggling with messaging. And I could go, okay, Luke's told me he's struggling with messaging. I can do a live demonstration. So I can go onto your LinkedIn, I can use my LinkedIn, I can compare and go, okay, this is where the opportunities are for your content. This is what you're looking to work towards on my content. You can see the difference in views. So it's very impactful because I can do that. Whereas if you haven't got something that you can use to tease that or demo it, I would say, yeah, presentation is good because one, it keeps you on track. One, it gives them something to nice to look at as well, naturally. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, typically as well, since the pandemic, we've all got into this habit of just talking freely with each other. So I wouldn't overthink it. I just say, as long as you know your set process, as long as you're asking the right questions at the start so you know really how to convert or engage that person better. And then, just tease your offering, basically.
So would you say, I mean, I've got a question. I've written down a list of these questions I was going to ask you about the discovery calls. The last one is kind of what your biggest tip for discovery calls would be.
Yeah, I would say, actually, there's a few I'd say. So in terms of your discovery call, you want to get on it straight away. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds very simple, but I think I've done a post a couple of months ago where they said for an inbound lead or an inbound inquiry, the average time that a salesperson gets back to it was like 47 hours.
47 hours?
Yeah, because it can get lost in junk mail.
So 2 days. If someone, yeah. someone's inquired and said, I want to work or I want to know more about you, mm-hmm. and they'd left 2 days.
Yeah, precisely. So
It seems really...
Yeah, I mean, in my world, I think, because I'm quite organized with my inbox, anything that's new, I'm like, okay, I'll just sort this right away. So anytime I see an inquiry, I'm on it straight away. So just be one of those people where you go, actually, even if you're not leaving a 47-hour gap, you want to be on it straight away, because actually that person could be inquiring to 5 other people. And if you're the first to engage back, you're already winning. So naturally, some people might go, oh, I've got an inquiry. I'll just finish off this admin for the next 2 hours and I'll engage back. But actually, they might have lost that, like, do you mean like that motivation, yeah. that like mood, so all of that. So I say be quick on that. Secondly, when you're on the call, it's not all about you. Like, I know everyone wants to just wow them and talk about how amazing you are and just keep talking and talking. It's all about listening at the start. Okay, so you want to identify why they're on the call, what's the challenges, where they want to work towards, so actually you know where they are now as opposed to where you want to get to. So you can say, actually, our service will help you. You told me that you need to do £6,000 per month and it's 2 new clients. So actually we've got the accelerator program that will help you build a webinar process where you get a lot of clients that will contribute to those 2 clients. There's that stuff. Also, lastly, I would say you have to be organized with your follow-up. I know so many salespeople that will send their proposal, do an amazing call, but they just don't follow up. Or they'll lose track of when they need to follow up. So actually, they might follow up a month later, but you've lost that traction again. So a lot of the time, your audience might not have got back to that proposal, not because they're not interested. We all live busy lives anyway. Yeah. But you want to try and remain top of mind by just doing that follow-up process. And then also you look quite professional.
Well, people are busy. So what will happen is someone will go on the call. They'll go, that was a really great call. And then it's probably worth it following up by saying, oh, thanks for your call. This is, if you've had any actions going forward or you need anything, let me know. So it's there in the inbox as well. Because what you can do is you'll wait a while and go, oh, I didn't hear back from this person in a while. I'll give them a message. That's kind of not what you want to be doing. You want to be
Do you mean you want to be proactive? And then sometimes... your client might go, we're very busy, but can you touch base with us at the start of February or in 3 weeks' time? When they tell you that, diarize that time. And actually, when it's 3 weeks' time, you're going to be there straight away because it looks very professional. And also, you've basically said something that you're going to do.
Yeah, keep like a spreadsheet of your like prospects when they come in and say, okay, I was interested, but I need to push this to this month because mm-hmm. it might be a finance issue, it might be an issue where we're already talking to someone and we want to see how that plays out. So you need to have that future pipeline kind of in set in motion and on a timeline so you know when to engage with someone. And because if you said, oh, talk to me on this date, and you did talk to them on that date, it shows you're reliable. It shows that, you know, you are actually, you listen to them, you talk to them, you put it down, and you can actually action what is happening, because you don't want to work with someone who's just going to have to be reminded to talk to you.
No.
just touching back on the call we had so I can give you money. No one wants to do that to someone they're trying to work with as like a service or a product.
Yeah. And I think a lot of salespeople just overthink the follow-up process. They think, am I being too full on? Am I just, But actually, we all live such busy lives.
It could be one or two sentences. Yeah. You don't have to write an entire script.
It could be one or two sentences. It could be a check-in. Especially business owners. Business owners, their inbox just gets filled up with junk. Sales pitches, suppliers, admin. They need to do their own company. So their inbox is so busy. So actually, sometimes they might even miss your inbox. So it's just going, can I be consistent with my approach? Am I being helpful? And am I still giving value?
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Curtis, for coming on the podcast today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I'll just do a little sign off. Hopefully, I won't swear during the end like I did at the start. Thank you for listening and watching to the Maverick Podcast. Please subscribe to us on all our podcast channels, especially on YouTube, and click the notification bell so you'll be aware every time that we post. We post a lot of tips, some strategies that really help grow your business, if it's a discovery call or if it's with content. I want to thank Curtis for coming back on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And we'll see you next time.